Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So we are in the series that makes a while now, My House, My Nest, and we've been talking about relationships, we've been talking about marriage, raising up the kids, and so on. It's a big deal, right? I believe there's so much tension when it comes to marriage, when it comes to family, and so we need God's assistance, we need God's grace for us to do things well and for us to have a great legacy. I'll be talking about that next week. But what I want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about when it comes to my nest, I want to talk about my nest, my life. My nest, my life. One of the reality is that it's very hard to pastor others if you don't let God pastor you or if you don't pastor yourself. And when it comes to being a father, when it comes to being a mother, a person of influence, an uncle, an aunt, a grandparent, we need to realize that we cannot give what we don't have. We cannot give what we don't have. And so what we want is we want to see God pastor us. And when it comes to pastoring, to see God pastor us or to pastor ourselves with the assistance of God, it never ends. I wish I would be able to stand before you and say, the pastoring of Claude is done. And it's not, right? It's a journey. And one of the aspects I'd like to talk about this morning that I think is significant, and we don't talk a lot about it, but it's all over Scripture. We see it in the old, we see it in the new. It's to embrace self-control. Can you say that to your neighbor? Embrace self-control. I think it's a huge topic. It's an important topic to embrace self-control. Like, we live in the most distracted, indulged, entertained generation in human history. It's so real, so there. Like, we're so so stimulated by all kind of stuff. I believe it's an overload. I was flying out east, and as I went to see family this week, and as where I'm flying over there, I had this guy sitting beside me, and he was playing with two phones, and he was putting his phones in the pocket in front of him for a minute, and picking them up constantly. And at one moment, he started to read a book, probably lasted 5 minutes, not even that, and going back to his phone, looking at social media, like he could not stop. His leg was shaking. Like, his concentration span was very, very short. And one of the reasons is because we have a problem to think. We have a problem to take time. We're so much overwhelmed by so much information. And what happened is that one of the challenges we face is that we have a problem to say no. We do. Like, look, you can watch whatever you want whenever you want it now. You want to watch sport? You get a sport package. All the sports. You have Sportnet. You can watch all the games, all the hockey games you want. You want to watch a FIFA soccer, then you have access to everything. Everything is available. You want to watch movies? You can watch the movie you want at the time you want. You want to watch an old movie that you watched when you were a kid and you thought it was so funny, and then you watch it again, you see how boring it is. But you can. You can do whatever you want when it comes to entertainment. You can watch whatever you want. When it comes to food, hey, you can eat whatever you want. You can right now go, don't do it. But you could go on your phone and you could go, I don't know, wherever, order online what you're going to eat, right? Restrictions, whatever. You can eat whatever you want. You have this urge of eating pizza. You can eat pizza. You want to eat, Italian, Mexican, Chinese, and if Wingler Martin or the South Manitoba doesn't meet your need, then you go to the city, and then you can eat whatever you want. This is the world that we live in. We live in a time of consumption where we can consume and we can watch, we can enjoy, we can see all our wants be met. And if you can't afford it, you can put it on a MasterCard or a Visa, right? And you don't even have the money. You play now and pay later. You can do that, and people go according to their urges. I want this, I want that. Like, you can shop on Amazon, and you might not be even looking for something, but you'll find something as you're shopping. Oh, I never thought I would need that. And it just triggers inside something inside of you. It gives you a high, and you buy it, and the next few days is going to be home. My in-laws, you'd order it today, and you have it by the evening because the big Amazon shop is just next door. Unreal, right? Boom. You get it. That's the world we live in today. And it's amazing. But at the same time, I believe, if I tell you a secret, I believe that we don't know how to manage it. I have a feel that it manages, it has a hold on us, and it does manage us. It does manage us. Like, an average company will spend around 8% on marketing. And before COVID, it was 11, 12%, where they spend a lot of money for you to buy, for you to get you, to entice you to consume. And that's the reality. And learning to say no is a big deal. Can you say that to your neighbor? Learning to say no, it's a big deal. Like, it's a big deal. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It's real data. It's relevant for us today. It's like he's speaking to our generation. It says in chapter 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world and everything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever." And the call that we have, it's to do the will of God. But there's so much distraction, right? And you break down the craving of the sinful man. Is I want, I need. It's the desires. And you could live your life, try to fulfill that desire. Work, 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 so you can enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But you can't really enjoy because you got to pay for what you bought to enjoy. And you're in that cycle of consuming and not really be happy because really nothing fills the inside, this hole inside of your heart that only God can fill. You look at the lust of the eyes. It's like, someone wants to watch pornography, boom. Someone wants to do shopping, boom. It's all there. And this is not from God. And so I've got to learn to say no. Otherwise, I'm just going to coast everywhere, and I will be a prey, and I will float here and there, and I won't fulfill what God has in store for me. And there's a battle going on. Then you have the boasting of what he has and does. What success is today in the Western world is the one that has the most toys win. That's how it is. The biggest house, the biggest bank account, the biggest, that's what we value. That's the American dream, isn't it? That's the American dream. We're not called to pursue the American dream. We're called to pursue God. We're called to follow his ways, and it's hard. It's really hard. Guys, it's hard to say no to the ways of the world. It's really hard because we're bombarded all the time, and we're weak in saying no. And so if we're weak to say no, then we get tossed to the right and to the left. Like, the topic of self-control, the topic of contentment and moderation is so important. The question I have is, who is managing who? Who is managing who? Am I managing things, or am I being managed? In many occasions, we're not even aware that we're being managed in this rat race, in this worldly pursuit. You know, I believe that abundance requires much discipline. The more we have, the harder it is. The more options you have, the harder it is. It's like when you go to the pharmacy and you have to buy shampoo. That's not my problem, by the way. But you go and you want to buy shampoo. Like, what do you do? all the colors, all the brands. Then you're going to Google best reviews, chat. What do you think? What kind of shampoo should I use? And then chat will say, what kind of head do you have? And then you'll say, well, they can't really, at this point here, chat can't scan your hair, but probably one day they'll say, hey, give me one of your hair. I'll scan it and I'll tell you what kind of shampoo you can use. Like, that's the reality in the world we live in right now. And it's so important for us to have our eyes peeled and our hearts aware that we are bombarded day and night. You look at sports, all the advertisement and so on, just to get your dollar, just to have, the world wants your dollar, the enemy wants your heart. The world wants your dollar and the enemy wants your heart. That's the reality that we're facing. And so it's important for us not to be caught, right? And so we want to be aware of that. Look what it says in Proverbs 25, verse 28. What a verse. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. No self-control, you got a big hole in the wall. Like without a wall, anything can come in. Anything can come in. Without a wall, a city eventually loses its identity. For us, culture shapes us instead of Christ. Appetites rules instead of the Spirit. That's the reality we face. And we see Paul talking about that over and over again, but it's like kind of a page that we jump. Oh, well, you know, I want to hear about God's blessing. I want to hear about God's provision. I want to focus on what God can do for us. And we forget that the walk of the Christian is not an easy one. It's a walk of discipline. It's a walk of focus. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. I'll read you the text. It's not my favorite text when it comes to the flesh, but it's an important one to read and to consider and to study. Paul is comparing the journey or the walk on earth like a race, that we're all in a race. And he says in verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Like, realize that you're on the path and you're called to run the race. And it says in verse 25, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We always have to remember of eternity. We can't only live for now. And the world and the culture today, it's all about the now. Would you agree? It's all about enjoy it now. Now is the time. Yeah, you're called to enjoy life. Absolutely. God blesses us. But we've got to be influenced by eternity, because life is so short. We don't know when we're going to go. But we know we have a choice of leaving an inheritance. We have a choice to live a life that honors God. And here it says in verse 26, therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, or I do not fight like a man beating the air. I don't shadow box. I'm really fighting. I'm really aiming to do what I'm called to do. I've got this calling upon my life. I have a responsibility. I want to make a difference. So he's driven by purpose. That's what he's saying. And then he says in verse 27, it's the part that I don't really like, but I beat my body to make it my slave, so that after I've preached other, I myself will not be disqualified for the price. Meaning that I'm teaching myself to say no. I'm teaching myself to say no. We look at all the scandals that we've seen in the evangelical world in the last decade. Men of God, women of God of influence they just drifted to the right or to the left. It's because of that. It's because we haven't learned to say no. And it's little by little that you get yourself in the trap. It's like this illustration I gave multiple times in my last 20 years of ministry. It's like the spider that is building a web, one string at a time. And you fly by, and in your mind you say, you can't catch me, bzzz, you can't catch me, but the web is being built. And the purpose of the web, it's to catch you. And so it's important for us to be aware that what we're on this track, and that track is to do the will of God. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff coming our way to distract us and to derail us. I remember being a young pastor, 25 years old-ish, and I remember praying and having my devotion. And I remember this whisper that the Lord brought to my heart, Claude, the best is to come, but don't be derailed. But don't be derailed. Don't lose focus. Don't be caught with the things of the flesh. I wish I would be able to stand before you and say, I've done it perfectly. No, but the thing, I'm aware that there's a big battle going over you, young people, and all of us. It's to be distracted and to be caught by pursuing our wants and our desires, right? And to walk away from the things of God. We think about sexuality, sex before marriage. Well, you have desire for your future bride or groom. It's normal, but you got to put it in check until you get married, because that's the way of Scripture. You got to say no to your desires, you know? And we live in a world right now that we're compromising the beliefs and the standards. We're lowering the standards. You look at the church in general. We're afraid of offending. We're lowering the standards and standards and standards. And we don't teach self-control. Put a break. And it says that people without vision perishes. But in the original, like in the Greek, it says it's like when you don't have any brakes, you perish. We've got to have brakes. We can't just do life. We can't just consume. We can't just fulfill the desires of the flesh. And if we do that, we miss out on what God has in store. You're still with me? Still love me this morning? Like, I look at what Paul was saying. He wasn't saying here, do it with your willpower. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The word self-control in the original language talks about strength operating from within. So there's a strength operating from within that gives you the ability to say no. Like, self-control is not white-knuckle willpower. It's the Holy Spirit empowering our will to govern our appetites. And it's not about legalism and rules, because if we would want to say yes, if we want to embrace self-control and put all kind of rules, it just doesn't work. You can cage a lion, but a lion will always be a lion. So what needs to happen is a change of heart, right? You can put all the cages around you, but if there's not a change of heart, you will always desire to be out. And if you open the gate, it's still a lion. Might eat you up, right? But what you want to see is a heart transformation. So when it comes to self-control, it's to understand it's a transformation of the Holy Spirit in your life with your cooperation. Can you say that to your neighbor? With your cooperation. It's not like you fall in a trance and you have self-control. Or you fall in a trance and then you are patient. No, patient, if I use patient it's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's linked with your cooperation. I'll give you this scenario. You have your kids and you tell them to do stuff and they don't. Like, in the flesh, you want to choke them, but you can't. Right? It's not allowed, and it's not a good thing to do. But then, you embrace grace. You embrace grace, and because you embrace grace, then you have patience, right? And the reason why you embrace patience is because of grace, and the reason why you say yes to grace is because of grace that was shown to you, the grace of God. The only way I can be patient is because of grace. My wife is not here today, but we were raised in different ways, where for me, early means, like, my dad would say, Claude, I'm gonna come and pick you up at, I don't know, going fishing at 5 o'clock in the morning. He would show up at 4:30. 5 o'clock was late. 5 o'clock meant 4:30, right? For my wife, 5 o'clock meant 10 after five, right? And so, okay, you get the picture? And so my wife, we want to go somewhere. I'm ready. How many men are like that? You're ready? You don't have to raise your hand because it can be dangerous, right? You don't want to sleep on the couch tonight. So your finger. But my wife has to do this and has to do that before she goes, oh, by the way, got to make sure to clean the kitchen. And I say, why? Well, just in case someone's going to come. Nobody's going to come. But they still do it, right? And so then I look at my wife, and I'm called to be patient. And the only way I will be patient is when I show her grace. I understand grace, and patience comes in. If I don't want to show grace, if I don't think she deserves grace, I'll never be patient, right? And patience is found not only when people deserve your grace. You're gracious, you're patient with people even when they don't deserve it because you said yes to grace. Does that make sense? So it's a partnership with God. It's not like, oh, now the Holy Spirit will make me patient. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will help you. It will make you patient if you say yes to grace. And then patience will flow through you and you will be a different person because you said yes to grace, right? And so self-control is discipline empowered by grace. And so we want to see that in our lives. I like what Cassian, one of the church father in the mid-300s said, we should not think that God works in us without us, but neither should we think that we work without Christ. It's a combination of both, right? And so we want self-control. Like, let's say we want to see self-control in your life. Well, then there needs to be one thing that needs to happen, and that's the word surrender. If you don't want to surrender, you won't have self-control. For example, look what Augustine of Hippie, St. Augustine said, 354 to 430, that was in his early years as a priest. He says, Lord, grant me chastity and continence, but not yet. Right? God, I want to walk in holiness, but I don't really want to give this up. Right? Like, God, I want to walk in purity. I don't want lust, but I'm going to watch some stuff on TV that has a bit of lust. I don't want to let that go. To because you know I want free I want holiness but when you don't walk in the surrender, it's never gonna happen. You think Saint Augustine was able to walk in chastity and continence when he says not yet? Absolutely not. He needed to come to a place of decision, of surrender. And if I love my sin and I say, God, free me from my sin. You know what's going to come? What's going to happen? It's going to come back at your door knocking. And you will invite it. Hey, come on in. Because you never really dealt with it at the heart level. And you want to be free. You want holiness. But if you embrace that sin, it's always going to be there. And you can't blame the Holy Spirit for that. Because the Holy Spirit wants to bring freedom in your life. But he cooperates with your will, right? So if I'm not willing to surrender, let's say I look at their young rich ruler, right? Jesus says he loved God and all this, and Jesus said, go and sell everything that you have and follow me. What did he do? He went back to his riches, right? I remember when I was in Bible college, there was the three G's, the gold, the glory, and the gold, the glory, and the girls, right? It's same thing today, lust, right? Desires of the flesh, money, more, glory, be recognized, be seen, right? It's the same battle that we face and humanity has faced this forever. And this is why it's so important for the believer that our call is not just to coast, but to embrace discipline and realize that if I don't learn to say no, it's gonna bring me to a place I don't wanna be. If I don't learn to say no to stuff, like I'll share something personal. I love to eat, and sometimes I live to eat. In my life, if you've been here 20 years, you saw me be this weight, and you saw me 20 pounds lighter, and you saw me be this weight, and you saw me be 50 pounds lighter. You know, I struggle with food, right? And so for me, It's a huge deal. Food, I love food. And sometimes I realize food has a hold on me. So I'm saying, God, I don't want to be controlled by it. Because like I said to you, when I was younger, God was saying, the best is to come. Will my health stop me of doing what God wants me for me to do? Because I wasn't able to manage my appetite, my physical appetite. You see, I got to be aware of what is taking control of my life. It's a great conversation to have with the Holy Spirit. What am I not in control of? What is controlling me? Where do I don't have self-control? And for everyone, it's different, but I think it's important to be aware of it and not to be caught where we are just following our passion, our desires, our hungers, and missing out on what God has in store. I like what Proverbs 31, verse 1, this is Job, he says this, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. It wasn't reactionary, it was a decision of his will. I will not. It doesn't mean it's perfect, no, but he made a decision in his heart. It's the opposite of St. Augustine that said not yet. For him it says now. I made a covenant with my eyes, I will not. It's a decision. But if someone that doesn't make that decision will always have a problem with his eyes. Because the reason why we don't make a decision, listen, the reason why we have a problem to make a decision is because we really don't want to let it go. It's a heart condition. This is why we say, come, Lord, come and wash me by your Spirit. Come and renew me with your Spirit. And we need to see that and be aware of it, right? So important. We need a shift in how we see self-discipline from something that restricts us to something that protects us, protects what matters most. So some people will say, Christianity, oh, you got to say no. It's about, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's not about that. It's about what I'm saying yes to. If I want a healthy marriage, I've got to say no to things. If I want to have a healthy family, I need to say no to things. If I want to fulfill my race and finish strong, I have to say no. So when I say no, I'm saying yes to something else. So when I say no, it's not based on restriction. When I say no, it's based on what I value. I value my marriage. So then I work according to that. I value my relationship with my kids. I value the church. I value my calling. And so I choose to say no because of what I value. It's way, way deeper than abstinence. It's guiding your steps in the direction that you should go. So what I don't master will master me. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Everything is permissive for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissive for me, look what it says, but I will not be mastered by anything. What a stand, right? I will not be mastered by anything. Look at our world, it's so hard. But I think by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say, hey, no, I'm not gonna be controlled by my plate. I'm not gonna be controlled by my wants, by what my neighbor has, by the longing of this world, and be found in a rat race that you spend so much money to do this, to enjoy, but now you don't have time to enjoy, and you have this thing, this camper, whatever. Like, whoa, how am I spending my life, right? So it's important for us to look at how can I practice self-control? One other thing I challenge you to do, it's to fast. Fasting is when you say no to your food. Like there was one thing that your body wants, it's to eat, right? And you say, body, you're not gonna eat right now. I'm not gonna eat sugar tonight. It's like, for example, on a Sunday, I'm not gonna use my phone. You might foam at the mouth for the first month. I need my phone. Like, did I tell you about the guy that in the plane that was on his phone? Or was it this service or the next room? You did, I did, okay, all right. So think about that story again. Like, I can't leave. Like, well, can't. But gotta take it back. It's like, if you had the force. Like, it's crazy. And we are a slave. You know, I have to have my donut. Ah, food, cheese, cream cheese, boing. cheesecake, I meant. It's like, whoa, chill. Sorry. Fasting breaks the addiction of food, coffee, wine. You say no to your body. Like, need to have my cup of wine. Chill. No, you don't need it. You don't need it. Your body tells you need it, but you don't, right? Learn contentment. Like Paul says in chapter 4, verse 11, so I have learned to be content whatever circumstances. Like I was flying back and this guy beside me was saying, you know, I hate rich people. Okay, that was a funny statement. So I said, so you're not rich? He says, no, I'm not rich. So what do you do for a living? You work for the government? Like he said, I work for the government. Well, that's pretty good. And you are able to afford a flight? Yeah, well, then you're rich. Like, you know, the reality is that we got to learn contentment. Practice generosity. That breaks selfishness. When you choose to be generous, you're saying no to yourself and you're giving it away. You tie it to the church. You give to the poor. It breaks the desires of the flesh for more. And the reality is the more you have, the more you need. Because the higher your level of fear increases, because the fear of lack knocks at your door. You need consistent accountability. Who are you talking to? Who knows your heart? Who knows your struggles? Many of us, we have nobody. We keep everything inside. It's not good. We need to place guardrails like technology. Take a Sabbath of your phone. Like we need rest. We need to rest well. We run, but we don't rest well. And when we don't rest well, we have a problem to resist because we're tired. So we just give in. We need to understand that we're in a battle. Matthew 6, verse 13, the Lord's Prayer, and do not lead us into temptation and rescue us from the evil one. There's a war over your life. Like I said, the world wants your money, the devil wants your heart. Practice restitution. Like I need to apologize for what I've done. The story of Zacchaeus, I don't have time, where he gives half of his money back, and for those that he has stolen, he gave four times the amount. That's when we confess, repent, and we make things right, where we close the doors. We don't let things hanging. Number 9 is you connect with him. You schedule time with him. You fix a time with God in your agenda. How many of you have an agenda on your phone? Most of you, like a calendar on your phone, like old school agenda. Most of us, we put a time with God and honor it. Make it a discipline. Honor it, emotions or not. I remember, I don't have a lot of time here, but I heard this preacher many years ago. He was preaching on how to last in ministry. And he said, you know how you're gonna last in ministry is when you follow your agenda, your calendar. I was saying, no, when I follow the Holy Spirit. No, follow your agenda. When things are rough, you still pray. When things are great, you still pray. You follow your calendar. If you have the slot of taking time with God, you honor it no matter what. What happens, this is where you become. This is where you grow muscles. And when the time comes and hardship comes, you're ready to tackle it. Your bank is filled of his influence, of his word, of his presence. So connect with God. Feed yourself of his word. Experience his presence, and that will bring conviction in a good way. So it's a place where you surrender your anger, disappointment, fears, and habits, and hurts. It's a place where he touches you. You know what we need? We need to be touched by God. But I'll ask you this question, not out of condemnation. When can he touch you? Like, I'll ask this, I'll finish with this. When can he touch you? When can he touch you? We're so busy. Really, when can God touch your heart? When can God deposit a truth in your heart? When can God whisper something? When? So important to make time. Like, we live in a crazy world, and it's even getting crazier. So what are we gonna do? We got to embrace God. We got to let him in. We got to see him move in our lives. And my last point here, self-control leads to legacy. Do you want to leave a legacy? You got to embrace self-control. You can't just go and feed your feelings and feed your wants. You got to embrace self-control, meaning that we have to learn to say no. Amen? I would ask you to stand. For all of you that are going through hardship and you're not in a fun season, I want to let you know that God cares and God loves you and He wants to be in your life. I invite you to open up to Him and let Him in. Let Him in when it comes to the struggles you face. Maybe you're here today and you're disconnected with God. You're so far away in your heart. Well, this is what the Lord does. He goes and He goes after the lost sheep. That's Jesus. He goes and runs after the lost sheep, and He puts the lost sheep on His shoulder and He brings them to the fold. Maybe that's you. And express your desire for Him. Say, yes, God, come and rescue me. I need to be rescued. And don't let guilt come in the way and condemnation. It's a story of grace. God so loved the world. Maybe you're here for the first time and it's the first time you hear this. Well, I want to let you know that God loves you with such a passion. And He wants you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to spend eternity with you. The only thing you got to do is surrender. Say, God, I need you. Forgive my sins because of Calvary, because of Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you're being mastered by this world, being controlled, walking in fear and anxiety, and the meter is linked to this world. I invite you to surrender. I invite you to give it to God and say, God, help me. Help me to walk in devotion to You and help me to say no to all the things that are wanting a piece of me that are not from You. Yes, Lord. I pray for Your Spirit just to move upon this room and Your whisper in our hearts to know that there's no condemnation. There's an invitation that You want our hearts, You want our lives, and You'll take care of us because that's what You do. So, Father, I just pray that in my house, my nest, that my life would be pastored by You. Pastor me, Lord. Help me to be a godly example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.